I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Bob Moore. Hi. Hey. My kind of guys. The enthusiasm in this room is awesome. And I certainly, before I start running my big mouth, I want to thank the committee, honestly, for really asking me to come out here and share at your 30th roundup, the Gopher State Roundup. Yeah. And as I look out among you, I want you, for me, to give yourself a hand because you're some beautiful people to me tonight. I told Ed, we clean up well, don't we? Now, 25 years ago, Dave, wherever Dave is, for keeping in touch with me and Betty, Peter, for picking us up at the airport, Ernie L., was an honor to meet you, wherever you are, Ernie. I hope to get to see you some more of this conference before I leave. And last but not least, Ed. And Betty and I get to go a lot of places, and they're no strangers. You know, as Ed talked about the language of the heart, they're no strangers. When you wear your sobriety like a loose garment, I'm okay. And I've never been okay in my life. I am okay with 3,000 people here tonight. I'm okay. And that's the joy of this wonderful program. A couple of things I learned early on. There's a God, and I'm not it, nor are you. Some of you think you are. And Alcoholics Anonymous works. I got a lot of ambivalence as I sit here because I was touched tonight. And my daughter has grown up here going to Al-Anon and AA. And she thinks she has a sobriety date, but she hadn't drank yet. So. Let's hope she never wets it, you know. But I just got through going. I was telling Ed about going through something with my dad. I thought I hated my dad's guts, and I don't know if a lot of you can identify with that. But I come into Alcoholics Anonymous hating everything, everybody, and everything everybody had ever done anything to me. I hate it. Hate does nothing to the person you are hating but destroys you. God was at the top of the list, and for 5 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, I refused to say God. I thought God was sitting up there on his high and mighty throne. Why would he let all of this stuff that was going on in my life? And for 5 years, I said the higher power. I thank God for wonderful sponsorship. Because my sponsor would say to me, I want you to pray every night and thank God for that day of sobriety and get up in the morning and ask God to go with you. I ain't talking to him, okay? And so my prayer like that would go, okay, whatever's watching over my sponsor, watch over me. Get up the next morning, whatever watching over my sponsor, watch over me. And for 5 years, I did it. In my fifth year, one of the best Christmases I'd had since I was a little boy, growing up in Birmingham, Alabama. I have a gospel-singing friend of mine by the name of Gene, and I called Gene, and I said, Gene, God did this. God did that. Beautiful Christmas, God. Gene said to me, no more higher power, no more higher power. Emphatically, God, tonight as I stand before you. I watched my dad, a proud, proud man who had 35 years in the Army, having me to pick him up and take him to the bathroom and clean him. And my daddy looked at me one night and he said, I never thought, son, that I'd ever see one of my kids would have to clean me. And I thank God, and I said, Daddy, it's okay. But I thought about us because sometimes we're very unkind and mean to people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've thought sometimes about us, how we treat people, and sometimes we do it in recovery. Because you don't know, before you leave here, who's going to have to give you a glass of water or to clean your behind. It taught me something. I was really, really into watching my daddy because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I could do that for my dad. I did it for my mother, and I thought I hated my father. My journey in Alcoholics Anonymous, my journey began in Birmingham, Alabama. I was born when black wasn't beautiful. I didn't like being black. And I didn't want to be another color, but it was horrible times for black folk if you grew up during the time I grew up. Ku Klux Klan marched through the community, kept us in fear. But we were proud, proud, proud black people. My mother always would say education was going to be our out. And my mother got pregnant with me at about 12 years old. And I remember hearing my grandmother say, you don't bring bastard babies into this world. No offense to no one who has a child out of wedlock. My story, that time. Different time, different era. I grew up during the time you got your fanny tan. It was not called child abuse. And we did not come out of a dysfunctional home. That's a treatment jargon. It was the norm. You got out of line, my mama hit you. My mother, yeah. My grandmother catch you in midair, you know. But it was what I call mutual respect. You knew what to do, where your place was. Everybody raised you, the teachers in the community, the people in the community, the teachers. You went to church whether you wanted to go or not. There's an African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. And that's the way I was raised. I was raised right. I was raised, grew up in Zion Star Baptist Church, baptized by Reverend Martin, and in that church, if you smoked cigarettes, you were going to go to hell. You drank alcohol, you were going to go to hell. You had sex and wasn't married, you were going to burn in hell. Now, before I come to you, I'm doing all of the above. And we're going to have a good time on the way to hell. I got drunk with some kids about 12 years old, my first drunk, significant consequences. That's what alcoholism, addiction is, consequences. I was telling my friend bringing me over here today, if we could drink successfully, most of us would drink. I couldn't do it. And thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. But I had a no-nonsense mother. And these kids brought me home, they dumped me on the porch, and they ran. They knew my mother. Couple of things happened. My mother beat my butt. She broke a broom over my head, and she ran in the house and got her gun. Now, at 12 years old, I get sober real quick, trust me. Would she have shot me? I doubted it. She scared the hell out of me, though I know that. But my mother said something to me that night that I'll take to my grave. Sonny, before I see you like this, I would rather see you dead. Now, 12 years old meant nothing. But 30 and 35, and I'm walking the streets of Cleveland doing anything. Now, you let your little minds run rapid. I don't know you're sitting out there and say, well, I wonder, did he? Yes, I did. No, Bobby Moore did. Yes, I did. You know, a little nice lady, I just said, he didn't do that. The hell if I did. Unlike a lot of you who don't want to talk about it, that is the freeing process. That's what makes me okay tonight. I can talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, I don't do like a lot of you. Oh, thank God for blackouts. I wasn't in no blackout. I needed some money. I'm not in no blackout. I'm finna steal something. Then I'll go in a blackout after I get it. But before then, I'm wide awake. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing anything on the streets of Cleveland. You want me to steal for you? Give me a drink. Want me to lie for you? Give me a drink. You want me to make love to you and I hate your guts? Give me a drink. Alcoholism that a liquid would cause you to do and become anything because of the need. Now, one of the things, if you didn't do it, don't sit out there and judge me. I will not be judged by you. I will be judged by God. Skid Row is a state of mind. You take it to suburbia. Puke is puke. Fighting and raising hell is, I don't care where you are, is raising hell. I wouldn't look at the evidence. Graduated from high school at 16, an honor student, most likely to succeed, smartest dude in the class, best looking dude in the class. Gotta say that one. Stuff had started happening to this little boy when he was a little boy that my mother died, didn't know. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous, because I hated some of those people had done things to me. I work in treatment. I work in psychiatry. And when you see macho man comes into Alcoholics Anonymous, he's fighting, he's angry, he wants to beat up the world, and he's got to play daddy and play husband, and he was gang raped in the penitentiary. It's hard for him. It's difficult for him. It's difficult for him in relationships with the opposite sex. This is the cleansing process here. And that's where a lot of you let it go right over your head. It's not what you think of me, it's what I think of you. It's not what I've done, it's what I do today. You know, I'm under new management today. I'm hanging around with people, went to school with my mom and dad, and a lot of stuff happened to me, shouldn't have happened. And I was very angry and very bitter. Went to Chicago at the age of 17, and I come back from Chicago, and I think I'm grown at 17. Had no clue about life, dealing with life on life's terms, responsibility. If it feels good, I want some more. That's why I drank so much. That's why my sexual conduct was out of order. You know, I come back from Chicago. My mother is remarried to her husband in Detroit. My grandmother is there, and I had to get a job. And if there was a time I drank successfully, it was during this period of time. Now, we just don't stay there at that mellow mode. You know, when we crossed that imaginary line, I don't know when I did it, but my drinking got on a roll. And my grandmother would say I was acting ugly, you know. Because I'd get drunk and talk about your mama and your daddy, and people don't take kindly to that. And everybody saw me grow up in that community. So when I would act ugly, as my grandmother would term it, Granny got it before I got home. And I'm sick of these nosy people in my business. I had no business. My business was about getting high. I'm young. I bounce back. Got a letter from Uncle Sam. And I'm ready to get the hell out of Dodge. I do my basic in Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, and I ended up in Augsburg, Germany. Strange customs, strange booze. And the first thing I say when I get off the ship, now I can drink like I want to. Them nosy neighbors can't dip in my business. You know, my business was about getting high. I meet people like me in Germany. Water seeks its own level. You know, I'm stationed around the University of Munich. I have friends of mine who are attorneys today, doctors today. I'm in some guest house, some horror house. I'm somewhere drunk. Story of my life. Got wonderful pictures. My wife is going through the scrapbook, and she said, "Why do you look like that?" I said, "I'm drunk." I I'm drunk. We want to take pictures. Here, grab me, you know. Rather take my picture when I get drunk. And story of my life. Booze was rationed. Cigarettes was rationed. I typed out the division stamps to get the booze and the cigarettes. We sell the booze to the Germans, sell the cigarettes to the Germans. I'm drunk every day. Everything I do is drug affected. I'm drunk every day. Now, I had met Dr. Martin Luther King long before he became prominent. The movement was in the black community. My pastor was a part of that. And every Monday night, Dr. King would come into one of our churches there in Birmingham. Now, I'm in Europe, and his picture is plastered all over the European paper, and they're kicking his butt. They're throwing him in jail, and there's nothing worse than a drunk with a cause. We are dangerous. We are dangerous. You know. Sober, it comes out right. You know, I could articulate my feelings, but when I get high, it comes out wrong. My second sponsor used to talk about an old B.B. King song. Same old story, same old song. Goes all right till it goes all wrong. Same old story, same old song. You know, and that was a time I could drink successfully. I could do things. I was smart. I was intelligent. But once I got high, I was capable of murder. My journey. My journey. Woo. Angry people don't have fun. People who hate don't have fun. People who are, and I'm sitting there, and the more I drink, and I'm hating, and I'm angry, and everybody in the EM club one night is shaking their booty, they're having fun, and I'm not having no fun. The more I drank, the more pissed I got. And I leaned over to a guy next to me, and I said, "Someone of another color, call us a name we don't like to be called." And one of the worst race riots erupted. I'm responsible. And that don't go well with me because I was raised differently. I used to go over to the Borden Group. Don Cassini comes there. I think he's been there a couple of times for you guys. But Donald Group is a Borden Group on a Monday night, and there would be a lot of old-timers over there. And I'd go over there just to hear these old codgers. And they'd be sitting up there talking, and I'd be sitting up there trying to hear what they were trying to say. And I remember one night one guy stood up and he said, "Isn't it wonderful to be sober?" And I looked at him, I said, "Hell no, it's not wonderful." You know, I'm wearing Salvation Army clothes. Just before that, I got sprayed for bugs at the city mission, you know. My life is not wonderful. I'm wearing Salvation Army clothes. Oh, no, it is not wonderful. But ladies and gentlemen, as I stand out here and look at your beautiful faces tonight, I am so grateful to God that I became an alcoholic, because had I not become an alcoholic, I would not have met you. I would not have found Alcoholics Anonymous. Had I just put the plug in the jug, I would have still been hating. I would have still been hating. And I wouldn't have had your wonderful 12 steps to get rid of the garbage. I give the garbage to the garbage man. I dump the garbage. I don't hate no more. One night I'm over there and the guy says, "A pickle is a cucumber before it becomes a pickle." I'm still listening. Once it becomes a pickle, you can't put it back on the vine and become a cucumber again. In essence, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. You don't hear a lot of that stuff like you used to 25 years ago. A is like riding a bicycle. As long as you pedal the bicycle will move. You stop pedaling, you fall off. First guy I saw get drunk in Alcoholics Anonymous, I had 3 months. Ernest M. had 16 years. He got drunk. And I asked a guy named Pappy, I said, "Pappy, what happened?" "Ernest had 16 years. He said he graduated, Bobby Moore. He stopped going to meetings." So I knew at 3 months, I got to go to a lot of meetings because I didn't want to get drunk like Ernest. I'm up there one night, And God said, AA was like sex. If you're not enjoying it, you must not be doing it right. I'm up there in the heights. My name is, hey, Bobby Moore, I got a good one for you. AA is like the mafia. You leave, you die. After those guys got killed, I didn't feel good about myself, and I started drinking during the day. I broke every law, God's and man. And I should have been kicked out of the Army. But for the grace of God, I got an honorable discharge. I leave the Army. I stop off in New York. I got money at home. I've sent bonds and sent the money I made selling booze to the Germans home to Granny. And I go back to my grandmother's house there in Birmingham, Alabama, and I move back into the room I went to high school out of. I pay no rent. I buy no food, and I'm drunk every day. Alcoholism has now set in. It deadens all of that motivation, that drive, that incentive to do anything that is right. I remember I watched a movie down at the treatment center, and they were talking about drinking up. This woman was talking about she drank up her willpower. I said, do you have some willpower? She said, no, I drank my willpower up. I just drank up everything. It just destroyed my life. Just destroyed my life. I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy the things that I went through. It is in remembering that I stay sober. You know, I'm around Birmingham and I got money, I got bonds, I got a lot of rental friends, and if you don't play my game, you don't act the way I want you to act, then I get rid of you and I get some more people. I got money, I'm buying. And if I buy, you dance to my music. It's a controlling issue. I love it. You know, I'm in charge. I'm the man in charge. You know, and we're drinking, blowing this money, running to the bank like an idiot. And around this time, we get a letter from my mother's minister. The gist of the letter was my mother was dying. Had a beautiful mother. And I went to the Army remembering my mother as this pretty lady with long hair who used to get out and play ball with my brother and myself. And I get on a train. I go to South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and my mama ain't pretty anymore. She's skin and bone and dying of cancer. And I feel helpless and I feel hopeless. But I know how to spell relief. I sell my mother's house and I go take her back to Alabama and I watched her die a horrendous death. Cancer stinks and it smells and it robs you of your beauty. And my mother, my grandmother was ill. My brother's in California with my dad. And I got to clean my mother. And my mother resented the hell out of me seeing her naked. But I'm so grateful to God that I did that. I'm so grateful that God allowed me. Didn't stop drinking. But she was priority. And I go all over the United States running my big mouth, and invariably someplace there's a guy who says, hey, Bobby Moore, let me tell you about how I took care of my mother. You know, I take my hat off to these guys, but I did it because I loved her. She was priority. I'm an alcoholic, but I do what I have to do. So my ritual for 2 years, I got to clean her, clean the bed. And when I clean her, clean the bed, feed her, then she fall asleep. Then I drink myself to sleep. And one Saturday, I leaned down to kiss her, and she was no longer with us. I remember a friend of mine who went to high school with me. He put his arms around my shoulder, and he said, I know how you feel. And I said, no, you don't. Your mama's still living. 25 years later, in Alcoholics Anonymous, if I hadn't walked in your shoes, I don't say I know how you feel. I can empathize. I can love you till you learn to love yourself. I can care for you all I want to. But I don't know how you feel if I hadn't walked in your shoes. Your mama died, call me. I know how you feel. And I drank 3 bottles of wine, and I went to that funeral to show them, the mythical them, how I felt. Always showing them, always trying to prove to them, and never knew who them were. But I had to show them how sad I was. In sobriety, I've gone back to funerals, and a very dear, dear aunt, I just watched how beautiful and how peaceful she was in death. And I view dying differently than I did when I was drinking. My perception is off. I don't see things clearly. Dying is a part of living. We're all going to go there. But between birth and death, there should be some good living. That's what this stuff in Alcoholics Anonymous is about. enjoying life, doing the things that you enjoy doing without booze, without drugs, and just enjoying life, remembering who's running the show. There's a God, and it's not you, and I'll say that a couple more times before I leave you. Just keep that in mind. There's a God. And you have to find that for yourself. Those of you who are new with us, your sponsor can't do that for you. Nobody can do that for you, that you bond with a power greater than yourself. You find a God of your understanding. And I found out in Alcoholics Anonymous that God works through people with skin. You know, the people who loved me the most were these little white women from Lakewood, Ohio, and I'm hating. So if you're sitting out there and tall, thin, and black ain't in, you ain't heard nothing I said tonight. I was hating. And those little women in Lakewood, Ohio loved me until I could learn to love myself. An incredible journey. God works through people with skin. My mother dies traumatic. Just traumatic. My brother comes home for the funeral and was in Cleveland, Ohio. And that's how I got to Cleveland. Early 60s, some of you kids weren't born. They have an affectionate name they call Cleveland now, the Plum. Wasn't the Plum when I got there in the 60s. Bunch of dilapidated buildings, and I'm ready to go back to Birmingham. I know every nook and cranny. But there's an area where my brother lived, and I'm sure there's one in Minnesota like it is. Years ago, we used to call it the Red Light District. See, I heard them. They know. They know. 107th to 55th in Euclid was lit up like Las Vegas. Prostitutes worked all night long. Pretty girls. I don't know how they make money today. I don't. Beautiful girls. They were. Look good, smell good, and I became part of. Now, if you haven't been on the streets, if you haven't been on the streets and you don't understand, don't judge me. Don't judge me. An alcoholic, male or female, will do what he or she has to do to get what they have to get. And thank God that somebody bought you booze and you didn't have to go out there. I ended up being a street person, doing anything on the streets of Cleveland for money or for get high. I'm not ashamed. There's no shame to my game today. That is the beauty of this program, when you wear your sobriety like a loose garment. That person is no longer with us. But when I take a shower and I see the gunshot wounds and the beatings and the cuttings and the stabbings, I know. I know. Every scar on my body, either I'm in the process of getting some money or I'm trying to do something to get high off of. The story of my life. Got stabbed me in the heart and liver in a bar called the Down Bar off 105th in Euclid. This was the third or fourth time that my lights were almost put out. And I remember coming out of that 8.5 hours of surgery, open heart surgery, and I'm laying up there with tubes out coming out of every conceivable part of my body, and all I can think about, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to pay somebody to kill him because I know how it's done. To show you how this stuff in Alcoholics Anonymous works, I've been with you for 2 years. This gentleman, and I'll use that word loosely, that cut me, was on the 105th in Euclid on the cane and walked up to me and didn't know who I was. I'd been with you for 2 years, and I no longer hated this man. And he asked me for 50 cents on a bottle of wine. Needless to say, I hadn't gotten that well. I didn't get... Six months later, this man dies as a direct result of alcoholism. And if I live to July 26th of this year, I will celebrate 25 years of uninterrupted sobriety. And all I do today is suit up and show up. I don't know. The guys I sponsor, they expect me to tell them something profound. And when I tell them something as simple as don't drink, don't drug, and go to meetings and pray, aren't you going to say something profound? That is the most profound thing that I can say to you. Alcoholics Anonymous work. get in the middle of the bed, as my sponsor would say to me. You know, I'm out there on the streets doing anything and everything. And my introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous goes like this. I get sick out there. I'm bleeding from the mouth and rectum. I don't go to ER. I don't find a physician. Had a friend of mine that lived across from Cleveland Clinic, one of the largest hospitals there in Cleveland. And I'm across the street in Cleveland drinking vodka, chasing it with beer. Guy had a television set in the corridor. I would have to pass this TV set to puke my guts out. 30th, 40th time, who's counting? One of the times I come back by that television set, Channel 43 there in Cleveland had a commercial from our central office. Do you have a drinking problem? Oh, did I? I know nothing about Bob, Bill, AA, 12 Steps, Big Book. I know nothing, but I call that number. And I'll be eternally grateful because I believe God intervened in my life. I don't believe I did it by myself. I believe God was instrumental in that. What makes the guys that I ran the street with, most of them are dead? Or the prostitutes, most of them are dead. I'm walking down Huff Avenue, a guy shooting at me, shoots the guy next to me, he dies, I'm still here. And sometimes we don't know what God has for us. We don't write the script. Had I written the script, I would not have put this conference in that script. What a missed a blessing. I called the central office on that television set and they sent out my first sponsor, a little bow-legged black guy by the name of Herman Wade, alias Hooks. And I'm eternally grateful because it was this little giant that brought me the message, who spoon-fed me Alcoholics Anonymous. And he wasn't running around trying to show me how much he knew. He wasn't a big book thumper, and no offense to no one who is. I read the big book for 25 years. It is not to impress you. It is for me. You reap the benefit of that. My relationship with God is none of your business. You reap the benefit with me being connected with God by the way I treat you. You won't have to tell me what you are and what you're doing. You show me. That's what this program is. It's an action program. It's like love. Love is an action word. You can't talk about me and beat me up and call me names and tell me you love me. It's an action component. And that's what you got to do in this program. You got to get it for yourself. It works if you work it. And if you don't work it, you're not going to get it by osmosis from your sponsor. My sponsor took me out to Brecksville VA Hospital, and I meet the second man that's to affect my life for the rest of my life. Little short white guy I am hating. We're sitting in pajamas like you guys are watching me, and he walks up to this podium, little short white guy like my sponsor. My name is Phil Burkhart. And I have 35 years of uninterrupted sobriety. And I lean over to the guy next to him. I say, he's telling a damn lie. I couldn't envision anyone staying sober for 35 years. But as I've done so in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's an acquired quality, you listen to learn, learn how to listen. I heard what that little giant said that night. He asked us, what's the most important thing to us? And allowed us to respond. And the guys would say, the wife, the car, the house, the job, money, sex. And we went down these lists of things that were important to us. When we were done, this is what that little giant said. If you let sobriety play preference in your life, if you put the sobriety above all of those things. Ashley is 5 years old. Wednesday night, I look up at the clock. We're playing games, and she said, Daddy, please don't go, please don't go. Daddy goes to Wednesday night unity every Wednesday night. We're watching cartoons on a Saturday morning, and I look up at the clock. It's time to go to my second home group, the VA Saturday group, on a Saturday morning, 10:30. Last 25 years I've been there. If I'm not sick, out of town. And she'll say, please, Daddy, don't go, Daddy. Daddy goes to VA hospital every Saturday morning. My home group members know I'm here. Every guy I sponsor know where I am. They got the cell number. They know I am here at your conference tonight. That's how I sponsor. They know where I am. My sponsor did it to me. The joy of this program. Said, because without the sobriety, you will lose all of those things that were near and dear to you. I knew that. I got out of the army. God said, let me take you to New York, do this for you. I'll call you. And I got a glass of booze in my hands. Come out to L.A., Bobby, let me do this for you. I'll call you. And I got a glass of booze in my hand. It won't let you. It just won't let you be that person that you were created to be. You know, we are very creative and artistic and intelligent people. Under the influence of alcohol, we're capable of murder. You know, booze and drugs will not let you rise to your full potential. Like to say I stayed sober, but it didn't. I'm drinking, going to the meetings, you know. And around Cleveland, we comment. I know you guys don't comment, but when we get a new man that's commenting too much, I know that was me, you know, because I drink some vodka, and then I go to your meetings, and they say, new man, yeah, right here, over here. You know. And then I want to thank you people, you wonderful people. You know, we get real proper, and I want to thank you for this Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm drunk, you know, I'm full of vodka. And one night they couldn't wake me up, and they kicked me out of the program. Overshot my mark. I'm back on the streets trying to do my thing. And my thing is stealing and lying and any kind of way that I can get some money. And people don't take kindly to you when you're trying to rip them off and do things, and especially when you're drinking. I had gone back to college, and it wasn't to get a degree or pursue a career. My GI Bill was about to run out, and I got good money to go to school. I played tennis at one of the schools, and I had a white bag with a strap. I used to house my racket, my changing underwear and incidentals in there. And now this bag houses everything I own. We hear stories of guys coming in the Alcoholics Anonymous with a brown paper bag. I had a beautiful white leather bag. Beautiful. But everything in it was funky, filthy, dirty, and nasty. And so was I. So was I. I was just rotten to the core. You know? It's an incredible thing when I stand and tell my story and my daughter looks at me and she doesn't know that guy. When I tell you what it was like and all she knows that I'm the best daddy since sliced bread. But I got to be the good daddy because of you. I got to be the good daddy by watching men in Alcoholics Anonymous, watching my sponsor who was an incredible father. I got to be a good person by imitating you and walking the walk like you walked the walk and talking the talk like you did. It paid off. I had some wonderful teachers. Many of them are gone. I've lost two sponsors. I'm working on the third one. But my third sponsor is just afraid. All of them die, Bobby. And he's a priest. He's a priest. I've scared the priest. I like to say I stayed sober, but I didn't. I just played all the games. I played them before I got here and almost didn't make it. But God allowed me to come in the doors. You know. My last drinking was done in an apartment building on Chester Avenue where everything booze-wise, drug-wise, and sex-wise went on, and I'm a part of. I could always duck, and I could always blame. And when all else failed and you catch me doing something, they picking on me because I'm black. Well, I'm still black 25 years later. I ain't been to jail in 25 years. I've been employed for the past 25 years. I'm dependable these past 25 years, thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous. So told one of the guys in that apartment building, I said, man, I got to get out of here. I feel like I'm losing my mind, but I'm homeless. And he said, I know where we can go. And we went to the City Mission. I don't know if you got one here. We got an old one. They got a new one they just built, but I went to the old one 25 years ago. Cockroaches bigger than me up in there. You got to fight them to get in the bed. And they make you sing for your supper, and you got to sing those hymns and eat those hard donuts, drink that lousy coffee. And when you go through all of that ritual, then they make you take all your clothes off. And then they spray you and your clothes for bugs. And that was the most degrading thing that had happened to me since I had been drinking. And I lay in that bunk naked, and my life just like a VHS tape going through my head. What happened? What went wrong? All I want to do is have a little fun, and then I'll go back to school. All I want to do is have a little fun, then I'll settle down. My brother had three beautiful kids, an old beat-up Chevy, and went to work every day, and I called him a square. But I'm laying on his couch eating my sister-in-law's food, and I don't have a pot or window, you know what, to throw it out of. But I'm the slick one, and he's the square one. And for all of you slick people out there, this is the slickest thing I've ever done, coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. Gummy up. Yeah. Whew. 4 o'clock the next morning, they put us out. No money, no insurance. I go to the hospital where I'm employed, St. Vincent Charity Hospital, one of the oldest treatment centers in the country, Rosary Hall. Sister Ignatia was there. I go up on the second floor, like the television said, it's awesome when you sit back and see how God has moved in your life. You can't see it when you're drinking. I go up on the second floor. The priest comes out of his office. Why didn't he come 10 minutes early, 10 minutes later? Father Gregory French later became a dear friend. I didn't know who Father Greg was then. I saw the collar, and I ran over to the good father, and I said, Father, help me. I'm an alcoholic. I'd been to your meetings, and I got drunk. I'd been in treatment many, many times. I got drunk. I'd go lay up at the Brecksville VA hospital 3 months at a time, and I got drunk. But that morning with Father Gregory French, and many of us, we know what we are. We will admit. Sometimes we don't accept, but the third and very crucial one is the surrender. I had a brother of mine around Cleveland by the name of Vic Zublik. Vic is gone to that meeting in the sky, but every time I chaired a meeting, Vic Zublik was going to lead for me. Wasn't what Vic said, it's what Vic did. This is how you get to Alcoholics Anonymous. And he threw both hands up, surrender. That morning with Father Gregory French, I surrendered. No more fighting. Mr. Alcohol, you are the winner. No more fighting. And I stopped boxing. My arms are too short. I couldn't box no more. I come out of the ring with Mr. Alcohol. Father Greg sent me to Metro, no beds. I ended up at Harbor Light, the Salvation Army. Harbor Light program, 18th and Prospect, one of the worst parts of town. And I got sober, and I stopped drinking there. In that worst part of town. When the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear. I got sober under horrible circumstances, but I got sober and I'm still here. I went into Harbor Light and I walked into Harbor Light, and there was a woman there who knew me when the money was good and I looked good and I smelled good. And she said, hi, baby, how are you? I thought you were dead. And she reached for this bag of funky, filthy, dirty, nasty clothes. I didn't want her to see those clothes, but this woman grabbed the clothes. She went over to the washing machine and she washed them. I finished the detox phase and I went up to the seventh floor to a three-quarter way house, and every morning that God let the sun shine, every morning I got up, I went to that detox center, and when a drunk would puke on the floor, puke on himself, puke on me, may I wash your clothes, and I've been giving back to Alcoholics Anonymous ever since. You don't always have to be up here. Everybody called me the card man. It was a beautiful woman in Alcoholics Anonymous who's no longer here. She just sent beautiful cards, but she affected my life. And when somebody would do me wrong in Alcoholics Anonymous, boy, I'd send a lot of cards. You know, I send a lot of cards. But somebody gets sick, I send cards. I go to the hospital. I go visit old timers and nursing homes. That's carrying the message also. That's carrying the message also. I went in that treatment program, a drunk from the streets, and 5 years later, I'm the first black director of that detox center. And that's not exclusive to me. That's not exclusive to me. I've got hookers that walked into our home group. And that's why I harp on that, because sometimes we get too squeaky clean and we look down our noses at people who just come from the streets. I've got hookers in my home group who have come in and get a master's degree and defy you to call them anything but lady today. And that's what this is about. It's not what you've done. It's not what you've done. And I know what goes with that is a lot of shame. It's not what you've done. And you young people who are here, stay here with us. Please, stay here. Get an education. Stay here and grow. I don't care if you're 16 or 60. Pain is a great motivator. 16 or 60, this program will work. Alcoholics Anonymous works, and you find a God of your understanding, find somebody who has a working knowledge of the big book and the 12 steps. Get your home group. I've been homeless, so I know what homeless means. Get your home group and dummy up. I don't care how many degrees you got, forget them. Dummy up. Intellectuals are the hardest to get this program. They are. They're the worst. Oh, God. I lost that job. It wasn't because of incompetence or the executive director said I did a marvelous job. There were people that I thought everybody in AA loved you. And everybody that kisses you with that kiss of death sometime, and it's not always earth people that do the dirt to you. And they did it to me. But it taught me something. It taught me something. I had an incredible sponsor. My sponsor said, you're not working, you go to more meetings. I said, I don't want to go to the meetings because the folk did it to me in the rooms. He said, I want you to shake their hands when you go in there. I don't want to shake their hands. I want to get my pistol and blow their brains out. I shake their hands. I remember one night, one of the guys who had done it to me, I went over there and said, welcome to my home group. He said, don't shake my hand if you don't mean it. I said, I do not want to shake your hand. My sponsor said, I must shake your hand. I don't want to shake it. This same guy, about 5 years later, I'm in the kitchen because I'm still here. I'm still sober. I got a better job. And he comes into the kitchen and he says, you are something else. I said, what do you mean? He said, you are something else. But I want to say to you that I'm sorry for what I did to you. I want to make amends to you. 7 years later, I said, I'm okay. And you heard me, ladies and gentlemen, when I stood up before you. I'm okay. Not perfect, not having all the answers. Sometimes I don't know what the questions are. But I'm okay because there's nothing that God, myself, my sponsor, my home group, that we can't handle. Nothing. I lost my dad and my baby got hit in by a car within a month of the same thing. I'm still here. I don't drink, I don't drug, and I just get up, put on my suit and go and do what I have to do. Every guy I sponsor, when my daddy died, is calling me every day. I'm walking through Atlanta, taking my daddy to the VA hospital, and there's a tall, lanky black guy running out. Hey, Bobby Moore, Bobby Moore. I got sober in Cleveland. I'm still sober. I said, okay, God, thank you. There's one of our little angels. He puts the little angels there. And sometimes we block the blessings. Patti LaBelle wrote a beautiful book, Don't Block the Blessings. Sometimes we block our blessings by the way we act and the way we treat people. You know, don't block your blessings. I love gospel music. And I kept listening to a gospel song over the radio. There's a blessing on the other side of through. And I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. There's a blessing on the other side of through. And finally it hit me. When you go through it, the divorce, the cancer, the loss of job, the loss of a breast, a leg, an arm. Devastating. When you go through that stuff, there's a blessing on the other side of through. God takes us through that. And when you're connected with God, you realize that God takes us through that. You have to form and get that personal relationship with God yourself. Now, if I run you out of here saying, God, them streets and that alcohol will run you back in here. Incredible teachers. My first sponsor will talk about MAP, meetings, activity, and prayer. Action is the name of the game, Bobby Moore. Get in the middle of the bed. And when you get to ripping and running and going and doing, to remember halt. An alcoholic is not to get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. My second sponsor looked like Ed, big tall guy, psychologist, smart, command of the English language. If anything was to happen to him, he had instructed his secretary to call Barry Brooks, Bobby Moore, Father Joe McMahon. My sponsor was not sick. He went into our doctor's office, had an aneurysm. Barry was the doctor and died. I'm in St. Vincent Charity Hospital on the fourth floor, and the phone rings, and Barry says to me, are you standing? Yes, sit down. Rudy is with me, and he just died. And I drop the phone, and I run over to the old building to tell my sponsor today, Father Joe McMahon. Barry Brooks, Bobby Moore, Father Joe McMahon. I just don't think things in Alcoholics Anonymous happen by chance. This is a moment in time that will never happen again. Rudy believed that you lived each day as if it was your last. And it was his last that day. Everything in Alcoholics Anonymous was a celebration. And certainly tonight, your 30th convention is a celebration. I'm extremely honored. I'm extremely honored. I'm honored that you deem me worthy, that you felt I had something to come out and share with you. And I thank you for that. I remember in my third, about 3 months in the program, we comment in Cleveland. I know you guys don't comment around here after the lead. And there was a very angry, very bitter man in the room that night. Whatever you do, don't let your wife go to that damn Al-Anon. I don't listen too well, you know. About 10 years sober, I married one of them, you know, Al-Anon. I'm going to be nice. She's here. There are times I want to cut her heart out, though, because she forces me to work the program. I still want to control, and you don't do that to an Al-Anon in good standing. You don't do that to an Al-Anon. Yeah. From that union is my heart. She's the joy of my life. God gave her to me, and she almost died coming into this world. She's a gift from God. She's beautiful. She's a dancer. She's an honor student. She's daddy's baby. And as long as I stay here with you, Ashley Nicole will never see her daddy drunk. She will never see the police beating him up and carting him off to a police car bloody. All she knows is that my daddy loves me. And for a long time, we would say our prayers together at night. I'm so grateful to God for Alcoholics Anonymous. You gave me my joy back. I'm so grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. You gave me my peace back. I'm so indebted to Alcoholics Anonymous. You taught me how to love unconditionally. Life is not what you've accomplished. All that material stuff, you're not going to take it with you. Life is what you overcome. It's what you go through. And you don't die. You don't commit murder. You don't get drunk. You don't kill nobody yourself, and you don't kill yourself and nobody else. That's how you get to be an old timer. You don't die and don't drink. As you continue your journey here, your celebration here tonight, Dave, wherever you are, I want to say thank you, the committee, for asking me. It has been a treat, a joy. The wonderful speakers that I've met that I look forward to hearing, I'm just blessed. And no matter what I'm going through, the blessings are there. God gives me what I need. He takes me to places that I need to be and people that I need to meet, and he takes me there, and they come into my life to give me just what I need. I am so grateful. I used to think when I'm out in the streets, if I got all the money and all the sex and I got all this stuff, that I would be okay, and that hole never got filled. It never got filled. But to have less money and to do more with what I do and just to be okay, just to be in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting with sometimes acting a nut with those members. That's what I love about this crowd, because we act like this at my own group. We get loud and crazy. And we have fun. We just don't sit around and be sober and just waiting for God to come for us. They kill me. I'm waiting on God. I ain't waiting. No. I want to have some more fun before he comes for me. I'm not ready to go. Got to share one more thing. That little guy, Phil Burkhart, was an incredible man. Had 35 years when I met him. My first anniversary said to me, "Let no one sway you, Bobby Moore. The 12 steps are our program." And he broke them down to me. Step 1 through 3 is acceptance. 4 through 6 is house cleaning. 7 through 9 is building. And 10 through 12 are maintenance steps. So much 25 years later, I didn't understand. It's crystal clear tonight. I don't drink. I don't drug. I go to meetings on a regular basis. I pray to God every night and every morning, and I help another drunk. My life has gotten better, and that I owe to Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to thank you again for listening to me, and those dear people that I met that I hope stay in my life, you, my friend, and all of you. I don't meet strangers. I got enough love in this little skinny body and this little heart to love a lot of folk. I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hands. Thank you.